ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम टू अवर भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन कोर्स ऑन द 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। सो फार इन द लास्ट 4 एपिसोड्स वी हैव कंप्लीटेड द फर्स्ट 14 चैप्टर्स ऑफ द 10th कैंटो। वी कंप्लीटेड अप टू द ब्रह्म विमोहन लीला एंड टुडे वी विल बिगिन द 15th चैप्टर। एंड टुडे इन दिस एपिसोड वी विल बी डिस्कसिंग द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ हाउ बलराम जी लिबरेटेड धेनुकासुर एंड हाउ कृष्ण सब्ड्यूड कालिया and later how Balaramji liberated Pralambasur and how Krishna swallowed forest fire and protected all the cows and the gopas. So we will discuss these 4 pastimes today. In the 15th chapter of the 10th canto, Sukadeva Goswami says that Krishna has just entered Pauganda age and Krishna started taking care of the cows. So far he has been taking care of calves. And now he's little grown up now. He entered Pauganda age, means 5 to 10 age. And then Krishna began tending cows. So Krishna, Balaram and all the gopas along with their cows, they started entering Vrindavan forest. This Vrindavan is the supreme abode of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And it is the topmost spiritual abode of the Lord. So Vrindavan is filled with such beautiful ambience that is so pleasing to all the 5 transcendental senses of Krishna. So Vrindavan forest appeared so beautiful to the eyes of Krishna. And all the chirping birds and the bumblebees that are making pleasant sounds in this Vrindavan forest were causing a very pleasant experience to Krishna's ears. And the clear water lakes in Vrindavan forest, they are pleasing the tongue of Krishna because Krishna drinks that water from those clear lakes. And also there are beautiful lotus flowers in those clear water lakes. And there are also so many flower plants. They are spreading such beautiful fragrance, aroma. That aroma pleased Krishna's nose. And very soothing cooling winds were blowing and all the trees in Vrindavan were also moving slightly because of this wind, and that wind gave pleasure to Krishna's sense of touch. So like that, all the 5 senses of Krishna are pleased. Krishna's eyes are pleased with the beauty of Vrindavan. Krishna's ears are pleased with the chirping birds. Krishna's tongue is pleased with the taste of water, and Krishna's nose is pleased with the fragrance of flowers, and Krishna's sense of touch is pleased with the wind that is blowing, that cool breeze. So in this way, the transcendental abode of Vrindavan gives the ultimate pleasure to the Supreme Lord Krishna. And Krishna, because he was so enchanted by this experience, he began to speak to his elder brother Balaram. He says, "My dear brother Balaram, see how these trees are bowing down to your feet, and see these bees. They are making sounds like this, and then they are chanting your glories, my dear Balaram. And the peacocks are dancing and glancing at you, and the cuckoos are making pleasant sounds, and the sounds are actually their prayers offered to you. And this whole earth is so fortunate by your touch, and even Lakshmi also desires the touch." So in this way, Krishna started glorifying Balaram. Actually, Krishna cannot glorify himself. So entire Vrindavan ambience is for Krishna's pleasure, and Balaramji is like a supporting hero. Krishna is the main hero in all the pastimes of Vrindavan, and Balaramji accompanies Krishna and supports Krishna in his pastimes. So here Krishna is glorifying Balaramji. So then Balaramji, Krishna and all the other gopas would tend their cows, and then they would enter the forest and they will go on the banks of Yamuna river. And they start imitating so many animals. They also make sounds like the bumblebees. They sing in ecstasy. And they also start making sounds like parrots. And they start making sounds like cuckoos or swans. and they start dancing like peacocks. Sometimes Krishna would dance like a peacock and Krishna would say, see, this peacock does not know how to dance. I can outsmart these peacocks in dancing. And with a deep voice, they call out the names of their cows and the cows would come. And Krishna is so affectionate towards the cows. When Krishna calls out the name of one cow, then there are so many hundreds and thousands of cows with Krishna, and each cow would hear her own name. That's how Krishna starts calling the cows. So actually, the supreme opulence of Krishna is exhibited in Vrindavan when Krishna wants to please his devotees. Yes, Krishna has unlimited incarnations and he has unlimited powers, energies with which he creates this universe, maintains this universe, destroys this universe, and Krishna is the owner, creator, maintainer and proprietor, enjoyer of everything that is in the entire universe. And Krishna comes as many incarnations, and Krishna also kills so many demons. In this, all these activities, Krishna exhibits a lot of his powers. But the power that Krishna exhibits to reciprocate with his devotees is the supreme power. So the greatest manifestation of Krishna's opulence and power is in his attempt to please his devotees. So yesterday we discussed how Krishna was sitting in the center of so many concentric circles of the gopas, and each and every gopa is seeing Krishna right in front of him. So every gopa, although he is sitting behind Krishna or left side of Krishna, right side of Krishna, or like far away from Krishna in another circle, every gopa is feeling that Krishna is sitting right in front of me and eating food. Similarly, when Krishna is calling the name of one cow, every single cow is hearing her own name. So in this way, Krishna exhibits his maximum opulence in reciprocating with the love and affection of all his devotees, especially in Vrindavan Dham. So Vrajavasis are the topmost of Krishna's devotees. Vrindavan is the topmost of all dhams of the Supreme Lord. And all these boys, they would imitate the sounds of birds, Chakora bird, Chakravaka bird, peacocks, etc. And they mock like tigers. Some gopas will just make sounds like tigers. Other gopas will just run away from these tigers as if they were deer. So like this. And sometimes Balaramji would get fatigued and Balaramji would put his head on the lap of one gopa and Krishna would come and gently massage Balaram's legs. And sometimes Krishna becomes fatigued. He will sleep in the lap of another gopa and then other gopas will come and massage Krishna's feet. And some gopas would take leaves and fan Krishna. Some gopas would start singing pleasant songs. Some people will play some instruments and others will engage themselves in multiple activities for the pleasure of Krishna. So in this way, Krishna concealed all his majesty and grandeur and enjoying just like a village cowherd boy. So just suitable to the village ambience. So Krishna relishes all the pastimes of Vrajavasis who do not consider him God. Krishna is not that excited with reverential worship done by certain devotees who are in Aishwarya mood, but he is more excited with love and affection shown by Vrajavasis who are in pure bhakti. They are in Kevala Bhakti, not Aishwarya Jnana Yukta Bhakti. We have seen the difference in our previous sessions. So, but as sadhakas, we are supposed to worship the Lord with reverence by following certain rules and regulations. We cannot imitate the mood of Vrajavasis and consider Krishna directly as our son or friend or anything like that. So, but sadhakas are supposed to follow the regimen given by the acharyas. So, all the Vrajavasis are so exalted, all the gopas are so exalted. They have done heaps and heaps of pious activities to get this opportunity to play with Krishna. So all the gopas were going like this, and the gopas and Balaramji, they were playing with bumblebees and they were playing flutes, and the deer and buck, they were getting attracted to Krishna and Balaram. So the gopas headed by Sudama and Stoka Krishna, they once spoke to Krishna and Balaram. They said, my dear Krishna, my dear Balaram, nearby there is a beautiful forest called Talavan. And that forest is filled with so many tall trees. And hanging from those tall trees are very sweet and fragrant tall fruits. And we have a great desire to go and eat those fruits. But there is a problem. And the problem is, this Talavan is guarded by a great demon named Dhenukasura. So this Dhenuka is a donkey demon, is an ass demon. So in the form of an ass, this Dhenuka takes care of this Talavan forest, and this ass would not allow anybody to come into that forest. Even birds also become afraid to fly in the sky over that forest. So that's how Dhenuka is so cruel. And this Dhenuka, although it's a donkey, Dhenuka eats human beings. Very cruel demon. And no one has tasted those sweet thal fruits because of the fear of Dhenuka. But our minds are attracted by the aroma of these fruits. So, my dear Krishna, can you please help us get those fruits? Oh, Balaramji, you are so strong. So, can you do something? So, then when all the gopas reported to Krishna and Balaram like this, and they also told, they gave a caution note, Dhenukasura is very powerful. But Balaramji said, no problem, let's go to Talavan. So, all these boys, Krishna, Balaram and all the gopas, Sridhama, Sudama, Stoka Krishna, all these people just went towards Talavan. And they went, as they entered the forest, so Krishna and Balaram laughed. And Balaramji went to one tall tree and started shaking the tree. And the fruit started falling from the tree. Balaramji is so strong, although he's just a 5-6-year-old boy, he was so strong that when he shook the tree, the fruit started falling. So when the fruits fell down, they made sound. And Dhenukasura heard the sound of the fruits falling, and Dhenukasura came there. Dhenukasura wanted to kick Balaram. So with his front two legs, Dhenukasura kicked Balaram on his chest. And again, Dhenukasura wanted to kick, but Balaramji just caught these two legs and then started twirling around this Dhenukasura donkey demon and then threw him on a tall tree. So tall tree. So this Dhenukasura fell on the tree, and that's the tallest tree, and the tree also fell down. Because the tree fell down, other trees also started falling down. So the tree fell on one tree, and like that so many series of trees just fell down, and the whole place is filled with tall fruits. So when in this way Dhenukasura died, then Balaramji effortlessly killed Dhenukasura with very little amount of fight. And other scriptures, other Garga Samhita and other scriptures also give little more details that there was a fight between Dhenukasura and Krishna also, in this context only. So Dhenukasura and Krishna just went so high in the sky, and they started fighting there for a while. And after that, Dhenukasura lifted this Govardhan mountain and threw it on Krishna. And then Krishna took that Govardhan mountain and threw it back on Dhenukasura. And later, the Govardhan mountain was placed in its own place. And later, Balaramji started fighting with Dhenukasura. And then finally, Dhenukasura was killed in the hands of Balaramji, the most powerful Balaram. When Dhenukasura was killed, the associates of Dhenukasura, who were also in the shapes of asses, donkeys, so they all came. They are all very colorful donkeys. So all these colorful donkeys were coming towards Krishna and Balaram, and Krishna and Balaram picked up these donkeys and then threw them and then killed them very effortlessly and liberated them. And the whole place there was decorated with blood and fruits. So then entire cowherd community, the whole place, the whole association of all the gopas, they became so happy. And now the Talavan was not accessible to common people till now. Now it has become accessible. Anybody can come there and pluck those fruits. And it is not so astonishing that Balaramji has effortlessly killed Dhenukasura, because he is the Supreme Lord. He is the direct expansion of the Supreme Lord. It's not very, it's not a very big thing for him to kill Dhenukasura. So in this way, Dhenukasura was killed. And Sukadeva Goswami says in the 35th shloka, Naita chitram bhagavati hyanante jagadishvare otaprotam idam yasmim తంతు శ్వంగ యథాపద. సో నేతద్ చిత్రం భగవతి. దిస్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఎ వెరీ వండర్ఫుల్ యాక్ట్ ఆన్ ద పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ బలరామ్జీ టు కిల్ ధేనుకాసుర్ బికాస్ హీస్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ అండ్ హీస్ హోల్డింగ్ ద ఎంటైర్ భూమండల. ఎక్స్పాన్షన్ ఆఫ్ బలరామ్జీ ఈస్ హోల్డింగ్ ఎంటైర్ భూమండల ఆన్ హిస్ హుడ్స్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ అనంతదేవ్. సో ఇట్స్ నాట్ ఎ బిగ్ థింగ్ ఫర్ బలరామ్జీ టు కిల్. సో దెన్ ఆఫ్టర్ కిల్లింగ్ ధేనుకాసుర్, కృష్ణ, బలరామ్ అండ్ ఆల్ ది గోపాస్ జస్ట్ కేమ్ బ్యాక్ టు ద వృందావన్ విలేజ్. అండ్ వెన్ కృష్ణ కేమ్ బ్యాక్, all the gopis who were in separation from Krishna throughout the day, they come out of their houses to see Krishna. And in this context, Sukadev Goswami speaks a beautiful shloka. Pitva mukunda mukhasa ragham akshibhrangaihi tapam jahur virahajam vrajayoshitohni tatsatkritam samadhigam yavivesha goshtham savrida hasa vinayam yadapanga moksham. So in this beautiful shloka, Sukadeva Goswami says that all the gopis of Vrindavan were in feelings of separation from Krishna throughout the day. When Krishna goes into the forest, Mother Yashoda would decorate Krishna nicely and then sends Krishna into the forest. But she was feeling so much of separation from Krishna, she was not allowing Krishna to go. So when Krishna just moves out of the house, Yashoda Mata would say, Krishna, she would call back Krishna. And then she would just move a little ahead and then go to Krishna and say, Krishna, your peacock feather is not proper on your head. Then she would set it right and then Krishna would just move ahead. And again Mother Yashoda would call, Krishna, Krishna, your waist belt is not tied properly. Again she would set it right and then Krishna would just move ahead. And again for some reason, Mother Yashoda will just call him, Krishna, did you pack your lunch? Did you take that special sweet that I had made for you? Then Krishna would just stay back and then, yes, Mataji, yes, Mother, I have taken. So like that, Mother Yashoda just almost follows Krishna for some distance and Krishna would say, Mother Yashoda, are you coming with me to the forest or what? Please go back. So then Yashoda would just go back. So all the gopis who were staying back in the village, they're in separation from Krishna, both the Madhurya gopis and Vatsalya gopis. But throughout the day, all the gopas would get the association of Krishna. But during the night, gopis, Mother Yashoda would get the association of Krishna and all the gopas are in separation. The gopas, sometimes they would come in the middle of the night and then knock the door of Mother Yashoda and then Mother Yashoda would just come out and then open the door and the gopas are there. Then Yashoda would ask, why did you come now? Then the gopas would say that, Krishna, let's go. Let's go to the forest now. Let's take our cows. Then Mother Yashoda would say, it's in the middle of the night. You are thinking that it's already early in the morning. So you go, sleep now and tomorrow morning take your bath and come here. Then Krishna will come with you. So then she would send the gopas back. So like that, the gopas are in separation from Krishna during the night and the gopis are in separation from Krishna during the day. So Vatsalya gopis. Now Madhurya gopis are also in separation. So they would come out and then they see. So tapam jahur virahajam vrajayoshitahni. So the tapam, the pain of their separation from Krishna was like burning like fire in them, and that has been pacified when Krishna came back and gave his darshan to all the gopis. The gopis cannot even tolerate separation from Krishna even for a moment. A moment of separation from Krishna is like millions of yugas for them. So then Krishna and Balaram would just come back to their houses and Mother Rohini and Mother Yashoda would come forward and then accept Krishna, embrace Krishna and Balaram, and they would bathe these two boys and they would feed them food, they would dress them nicely and then they would also make them sleep. So in this way the mothers would take care of Krishna and Balaram. On one day, Balaramji did not accompany Krishna and the gopas. So he stayed back on that day. So on that day, the gopas went on the bank of Yamuna. So adjacent to Yamuna, there is a nice lake. So they went and because they were thirsty, they started drinking some water from that lake. Then they just fell down lifeless. They almost died because the waters in that lake were poisonous because of the presence of a great serpent named Kalia. So Krishna came there running, seeing his gopas and other calves also just lying there lifeless. So Krishna glanced on them. By the power of Krishna's glance, all of them were revived. They came back to their lives. Now, then Krishna later subdued Kaliya and then sent Kaliya away from that lake. So, this completes the 15th chapter. We are entering the 16th chapter now. So, in the 16th chapter, right in the beginning, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, "My dear Sukadeva Goswami, why Kaliya was living there? Why the Supreme Lord Krishna has told Kaliya to go away from Vrindavan, from that Yamuna lake? I want to know more details." And then he speaks a beautiful shloka. In the third shloka, he says, "Brahman bhagavatastasya bhumnah svachandavartinah gopalodara charitam kastripyetamritam jushan. Brahman bhagavatastasya bhumnah svachandavartinah." That Supreme Lord Krishna is svachanda. He is supremely independent. He can do whatever he wants. And gopala udara charitam. So his pastimes as a gopala, as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, are very benevolent, very udara. So Krishna very magnanimously, compassionately, mercifully delivered so many demons and gave them liberation. And relieved them from their demoniac life. So Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are very benevolent. Gopala udara charitam kastripyetamritam jushan. They are like nectar. Krishna's pastimes are like nectar, amrita. When somebody is accustomed to drinking this nectar of Krishna's pastimes, how can somebody be satiated? How can somebody says, "I am satisfied, I don't want to hear anymore"? No one can say like that. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying that, please don't summarize Kaliya pastime in one or two shlokas only. I want to hear very elaborately full description of Kaliya pastime. Then Sukadeva Goswami began the description of this whole pastime of how Krishna subdued Kaliya. He did not kill Kaliya. He only controlled Kaliya and then taught a good lesson to Kaliya. So Kaliya took shelter of this lake. Why Kaliya came to Yamuna, we will discuss in the next chapter. But in this context, we will see how Krishna subdued Kaliya. So Kaliya came to this lake near Yamuna river. And because Kaliya is very poisonous snake and it has thousands of hoods, there are 1,000 prominent hoods of Kaliya and he has more hoods. So it's a very poisonous snake. So it has, Kaliya has poisoned all the waters of Kaliya. So Kaliya has poisoned the waters of that lake, and even the vegetation and some trees and animals around that lake, they just breathe the poisonous air that comes from that lake and then they would die. That's the power of Kaliya's poison. And even birds that are flying above that lake also would die because of the fumes of poison. The waters were actually boiling with poison. So then Krishna wanted to teach a lesson to Kaliya. So Krishna climbed a kadamba tree. And from the top of that kadamba tree, Krishna jumped into this Kaliya lake. Why did that kadamba tree exist there? If all the vegetation and the grasses and other plants were died, they died because of the poison of Kaliya. How could this kadamba tree stay alive? So it is said that when Garuda was carrying the nectar pot, a drop of nectar fell on that kadamba tree. And that's why that kadamba tree did not die. So Krishna climbed that kadamba tree. And from top of kadamba tree, Krishna just jumped into this Kaliya lake. And Krishna started swimming so sweetly. So Krishna would splash waters. Nothing will happen to Krishna. Although that water is fuming with poison, boiling, nothing would happen to Krishna. And Krishna is very happily swimming. And with every movement of his hand, Krishna is splashing water so much just to agitate Kaliya. And Kaliya came out. Who came into my abode? Who came into my arena? So this is my place. So Kaliya just became so agitated and it came out. He came out and Kaliya has seen this beautiful childish form of Gopal, Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami describes this in the 9th shloka. Tam prekshaniya sukumara ghanavadatam srivatsapita vasanam smita sundarasyam kridantam apratibhayam kamalodarangharim సందస్య మర్మ సురుష భుజయాచ ఛాద తం ప్రేక్షణీయ సుకుమార ఘనావదాతం. సో ప్రేక్షణీయ మీన్స్ దాట్ విచ్ ఇస్ వర్త్ సీయింగ్. సుకుమార వెరీ డెలికేట్ ఘనావదాతం. సో దాట్ సుప్రీం లార్డ్ కృష్ణస్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఫేస్ వాజ్ సో డెలికేట్, వాజ్ సో చార్మింగ్, అండ్ హిస్ బాడీ ఇస్ ఆఫ్ ద కాంప్లెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ఘన మీన్స్ క్లౌడ్స్, డార్క్ మాన్సూన్ క్లౌడ్. తం ప్రేక్షణీయ సుకుమార ఘనావదాతం అండ్ శ్రీవత్స పీత వసనం స్మిత సుందరాస్యం. శ్రీవత్స పీత, హీ హాస్ శ్రీవత్స మార్క్ ఆన్ హిస్ చెస్ట్. పీత, పీత వసనం మీన్స్ హీ హాస్ యెల్లో ధోతి, యెల్లో డ్రెస్, అండ్ స్మిత సుందరాస్యం, హిస్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఫేస్ ఈస్ డెకరేటెడ్ విత్ ఎ వెరీ ప్లీజింగ్ స్వీట్ స్మైల్. అండ్ క్రీడంతం అప్రతిభయం కమలోదరాంగ్రిం. క్రీడంతం, కృష్ణ ఇస్ ప్లేయింగ్ దర్ ఇన్ దట్ వాటర్స్. అప్రతిభయం, హీ హాస్ అబ్సల్యూట్లీ నో ఫియర్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ ఎనిమీ. కమలోదరాంగ్రిం, సో ఉదర, కృష్ణస్ బెల్లి, కృష్ణస్ నేవల్ ఈజ్ లోటస్. అండ్ అంఘ్రిం, కృష్ణస్ ఫీట్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో లైక్ లోటస్. సో హీ హాస్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ అండ్ హీ హాస్ లోటస్ నేవల్. కమలోదరాంగ్రిం అండ్ సందస్య మర్మశురుష భుజయాచ చాద. ద ఫస్ట్ త్రీ లైన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది శ్లోక వర్ డిస్క్రైబింగ్ సచ్ ఎన్చాంటింగ్ బ్యూటీ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ యాజ్ హీ వాజ్ స్విమ్మింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ కాళియ లేక్. బట్ ద లాస్ట్ లైన్ డిస్క్రైబ్స్ ద రెస్పాన్స్ ఆఫ్ కాళియ. Kaliya became so envious of Krishna. Kaliya became so angry with Krishna. How could this boy come to my arena and fearlessly swim in my waters? So Kaliya started biting Krishna, just throwing her poison on Krishna. So that's the response of Kaliya. So then Kaliya did not only bite Krishna, Kaliya started coiling Krishna with her coils. Kaliya just arrested Krishna's body. Krishna is just hardly the 6-year-old boy, and then Kaliya with his coils just tightly arrested Krishna within his coils. Then there were so many inauspicious omens in Vrindavan, very bad omens, and people started feeling that they started feeling some bad omens within their body, within their minds also, within the climate also, within the nature also. So as soon as Krishna was arrested by Kaliya, all the Vrajavasis could sense, although they were so far away, so some boys were there, they were standing on the lake of this Kaliya, and they were watching what's happening to Krishna in the lake. But the Vrajavasis who were inside the village, who did not enter the forest, they also could get some signals, they also could get some messages. They started seeing some bad omens. They thought that Krishna must be in danger. Whenever we feel certain inauspicious omens or some bad physical or climatic signals, we feel that something inauspicious is going to happen to us. But all the Vrajavasis unanimously thought that Krishna must be in some danger today, because Krishna went to the forest without Balaram today. So he must have encountered some danger. All the Vrajavasis naturally feel concerned about Krishna whenever there is some calamity. So we are seeing so many natural disturbances in Vrindavan, that means Krishna must be in danger. So all the Vrajavasis came to this Kaliya lake. How did they know that Krishna is in this Kaliya lake? Because Krishna would walk barefoot in Vrindavan, and his lotus footprints, the footprints of Krishna's divine lotus feet, would not be disturbed by anybody in Vrindavan. No monkey or no gopa or gopi or cow or calf or parrot or peacock or squirrel or any living being in the entire Vrindavan would not disturb Krishna's lotus footprints. And they are the real ornaments of Vrindavan Dham. Even the gopis of Vrindavan also say in Venu Gita, Vrindavanam sakhi bhubo vitanoti kirtim yad devaki sutapadam bujalabdha lakshmihim. Means Vrindavan Dham is marked with the lotus footprints of Krishna, auspicious footprints of Krishna. Those footprints are, the Krishna's feet are marked with some special symbols like elephant, goat. We discussed in the third canto. Sanchintayet bhagavatascharana aravindam vajrankushadhvajasarorhalanchanadhyam. So vajra, a thunderbolt, ankusha, elephant, goat, dhvaja, flag, saruraha, lotus, These are all the auspicious marks on Krishna's lotus feet. When Krishna walks in the land of Vrindavan, his footprints also contain all these auspicious marks. They are shining, they are so brilliant. So nobody would disturb those footprints. So all the Vrajavasis followed the footprints of Krishna and reached this Kaliya lake. So to know where Krishna is in Vrindavan, it is very easy, because his footprints are there. Wherever he went, we can easily understand. So all the Vrajavasis came. They did not lock their houses. They were not worrying about their family members or properties or houses or anything like that. So they spontaneously felt concerned about Krishna, and then they ran from the village to the forest. They came on the bank of this Yamuna lake. Even Nanda Maharaj came, even Yashoda Mata came. And all the other gopis and gopas and the cows and calves and bulls, younger gopis and older gopis, everybody came there. So Sukadeva Goswami very beautifully describes the response of all the Vrajavasis when they saw Krishna arrested in the coils of Kaliya. So Krishna was arrested now in the coils of Kaliya, the cowherd men and the cowherd boys, means elder gopas and younger gopas. So their intelligence became so much, so deranged in grief. They were lamenting, they were so fearful, they fell unconscious seeing Krishna in such a predicament. So Kaliya arrested Krishna in his coils, and Kaliya is such a poisonous serpent, and nobody could enter that water also. And even some gopas attempted to enter the water, but Balramji said, no, you should not enter. It's very poisonous water, you will get affected by this. But Krishna is not affected. Balramji knows that. So Balramji was thinking that, I am Anantasesha, Krishna never played with me like this. But Krishna is playing with this water snake. So Kaliya is so insignificant in comparison to Anantasesha, Balaramji. So Kaliya is as good as a water snake only. Very insignificant. So Balaramji is confident that nothing would happen to Krishna. But all the Vrajavasis, out of their deep love and concern and affection for Krishna, they could not tolerate seeing this scene where Kaliya arrested Krishna within his coils. And the bulls and cows and calves also, they were in great distress. They called out piteously, Krishna, Krishna. They were just making sounds. And they were so anxious, they wanted to cry, they wanted to shed tears, but they are too shocked to even shed tears also. That's the situation of cows and bulls. And the demigods in the upper planetary systems, they experienced different types of fearful omens. And the Vrajavasis in general, they became fearful of all the inauspicious omens that they are seeing there. And Balaramji was simply smiling. Balaramji was trying to console all the crying Vrajavasis there, especially Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata. He was trying to console, he was trying to reassure them, nothing will happen, don't worry. And other Vrajavasis, they were overwhelmed with anguish and confusion. And the gopis remembered the friendship of Krishna, his intimate talks and his pleasant smiles and his sweet activities. They were remembering, they were feeling separation from Krishna, although they are right in front of Krishna. And all the elderly gopis, they became like dead bodies. They were like corpses. They were trying to hold Mother Yashoda, because Yashoda was trying to enter the lake out of her separation from Krishna. But the elder gopis just held her back, and they were all distressed. They were recounting the pastimes of Krishna in distress. Whenever we are in distress, if you remember Krishna's pastimes, we can withstand that calamity. And Krishna, now, just he was arrested by Kaliya, and Krishna waited for one muhurta. For 48 minutes, Kaliya arrested Krishna in his coils. And Krishna purposefully allowed Kaliya to bind him, because Vrajavasis were in deep anxiety. In such an anxious state, the Vrajavasis were feeling intense love and affection and separation from Krishna, and Krishna is experiencing their love and separation. Krishna is tasting their intensified love and separation. And generally, all the Vrajavasis are always having complete love for Krishna, but in the midst of such calamities, their love increases 100 times, millions of times. So their love is already unlimited for Krishna, with no scope for expansion. But still, that unlimited love will expand million times when Krishna is in some calamity. So there is only increase of Vrajavasis love for Krishna it never decreases. So Krishna is experiencing, tasting, relishing that love. But at one point, after one muhurta, after 48 minutes, Krishna realized that if Kaliya continues to hold me like this in his coils, the Vrajavasis may even die also out of their separation. They are already falling unconscious. So to encourage, to reassure and to revive the Vrajavasis, Krishna started expanding his size slightly. Not like what he has done in Aghasura's body that we discussed in the previous episode. He slightly expanded his body. And Kaliya's coils were tormented because Kaliya is trying to hold Krishna so tightly, and the inside, whatever Kaliya is trying to hold tightly, that is getting expanded. Krishna's body is getting expanded. So Kaliya could not hold and just released him. And Krishna jumped on Kaliya's hoods. Krishna started dancing on Kaliya's hoods. So Krishna started stamping on all the hoods of Kaliya. He has 1,000 hoods. And with each hood, this Kaliya was trying to bite Krishna. First Krishna, before this, that also, Krishna started moving around. Krishna started circling. So then Kaliya tried to just move like this, and try to catch Krishna. Because Krishna is just moving very swiftly, circling there. And Kaliya was trying to catch Krishna, and Kaliya was fatigued. Kaliya was tired. Krishna was moving effortlessly. Kaliya was putting so much of effort to catch Krishna, but it could not catch. He could not catch. So then finally Kaliya was fatigued. So taking this opportunity, Krishna just jumped on the hoods of Kaliya and started just stamping on those hoods. You know, started hitting those hoods with his divine lotus feet. See the fortune of Kaliya. Kaliya got the dust from Krishna's lotus feet on his head. And whichever head is trying to bite Krishna, Krishna would just stamp on that head. Krishna will just make it bow down. So there are 1,000 prominent hoods. Krishna started, Krishna made every single hood to bow down in front of him. Kaliya's venom, Kaliya's energy got depleted. So Kaliya could not fight with Krishna anymore. And Kaliya became totally humiliated, embarrassed, ashamed. And Kaliya's energy got depleted. So at that time, Kaliya was totally devastated. Kaliya's wives came along with their children. They kept their children in front of them. They came there with some worship paraphernalia. So they came in front of Krishna. Because the Kaliya's wives, they found their husband totally humbled. So now he's ready for shelter of Krishna. So wives of Kaliya came there. Seeing their husband fatigued, and they started offering beautiful prayers to Krishna. One of the prayers that they offer is the 37th shloka. Nanaka prishtham naja sarva bhomam na parameshtyam na rasadhipatyam na yoga siddher apunar bhavam va vanchanti yat pada rajah prapannaha. Nanaka prishtham, we don't want heavenly enjoyment. Naja sarva bhaumam, we don't want sovereignty over all the planets or this bhumandala. Na parameshtyam, we don't want even the position of Brahma. Na rasadhipatyam, we don't want the adhipatya or some authority in the lower planets also, like rasatala, talatala, patala, etc. So the wives of Kaliya rejected any kind of exalted or material position in the all the three planetary systems, right? Na yoga siddhir, we don't want even mystic siddhis also. Apunar bhavamva, we don't want even liberation also. And vanchanti yat pada rajah prapannaha, we want only the dust from your lotus feet. Prapannaha, we are surrendered unto your lotus feet. So Kaliya's wives, although Kaliya was a very envious serpent, Kaliya's wives were great devotees of Krishna. So they could understand that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. They were offering reverential prayers and they expressed their deep desire for Krishna's divine lotus feet, and they rejected any kind of material benediction in the three planetary systems. And then they started speaking to Krishna. My dear Krishna, you have punished our husband, and it is perfectly justified because your punishment is for the ultimate benefit of the serpent only. So by punishing him, you only caused a great benefit to him. Now that his poison is gone, his envy and anger are also gone. So now you have purified him of these negative qualities. So what austerities did he perform? To get this opportunity to have your lotus footprints on his hoods, you have practically stamped on each and every head of Kaliya. Kaliya has thousands of hoods. Krishna marked Kaliya's hoods with his divine lotus footprints. So Kaliya is so fortunate. And this, the dust from your lotus feet, is the greatest aspiration for all the Dasya Bhaktas, all the devotees who are in the emotion of being servants of Krishna. They aspire for the dust from Krishna's lotus feet. And Kaliya received it profusely without intending to receive it. So Krishna gave such a great mercy to Kaliya. Just like Krishna gave the position of a motherly nurse in the spiritual world to Putana, and Krishna gave Swarupya Mukti to Aghasur, Krishna is giving the mercy of his divine lotus feet to Kaliya now. So Krishna is merciful even to the demons also in Vrindavan Dham. Prabhupada writes in one purport of Srimad Bhagavatam that in the spiritual world, Krishna is merciful only to the devotees. But in this material world, Krishna is merciful to the devotees and the demons also. That's why Krishna shows extra mercy in his manifest pastimes. That too in Vrindavan Dham, he is more merciful. He is merciful to even such heinous demons who come to kill him and all the Brajavasis also. So then they offered obeisances to the Lord in various ways, and they glorified Krishna in various ways. And then finally, Kaliya started offering his prayers to Krishna. Kaliya said, "Oh Krishna, I am a snake and I am naturally very angry and envious and poisonous. So physically, I have a lot of poison within my body. Mentally, I have a lot of envy and anger within my mind. So our species is like this. Modeta sadhu rapi vrischika sarpa hatya." Prahlad says in his prayers that when a snake or a scorpion is killed, then even sadhus or devotees or renunciants also take pleasure in that, their death. Because this snake and scorpion are so poisonous and envious and angry that they unnecessarily bite other people. So even saintly people also rejoice the death of snakes. So Kaliya said that by birth I am envious. I am born in such a species, low species. So by nature I am angry because of your own maya. Your maya has totally overpowered me and I am very angry and envious. So please arrange for whatever you think is auspicious for me, my dear Lord. Then Krishna told this Kaliya, "Oh Kaliya, so you should not remain in Vrindavan anymore. So you should go back to the ocean immediately." Actually, all the serpents who are the sons of Kadru, they stay in an island called Ramanaka Dvipa in the middle of the ocean. So Kaliya used to stay there, but this Kaliya came to this lake in Yamuna River. Krishna told, "You should go back to the ocean. So you should not stay here anymore. You cannot stay in Vrindavan Dham. There is no place for envy." Of course, Kaliya has given up his envy. And then let this river be enjoyed by the cows and the calves and the gopas and the gopis. So you should not stay here. When you are here, people are afraid to come here. So better you go back. You are making the river poisonous. So then Kaliya agreed. But here there is a problem. Kaliya is a serpent, and Garuda, the bird carrier of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, he naturally eats serpents. So now if Kaliya goes out of this lake, Garuda might attack Kaliya. Previously they had, Kaliya and Garuda had a big fight, and they had some quarrel with each other. So now Kaliya is very fearful of Garuda. Krishna said that Garuda will not harm you, because this Garuda will see that my lotus footprints are there on all your hoods. So seeing my auspicious lotus footprints on your heads, Garuda will not harm you, don't worry. So you don't have to fear Garuda, you can go back to the ocean. So then Kalia agreed, and Garuda also, of course, he follows the instruction of Krishna. Garuda would not harm Kalia anymore. So then Kalia went there, went back. And Yamuna River again became non-poisonous. So this Yamuna River was restored with its natural beauty, and this whole lake was became so purified, and all the lotuses started sprouting in this beautiful lake. And on the bank of the lake also the vegetation started growing, and it's a very nice scene. And Krishna came out of these waters. And now that completes the 16th chapter. Now we will enter the 17th chapter. So now Parikshit Maharaj had a question. Parikshit very carefully heard the Kalia pastime from Sukadeva Goswami. Now Parikshit Maharaj had a question. He said that why did Kalia leave Ramanaka Dvipa from the ocean? And then why did Kalia come to this Vrindavan and stayed in this lake near Yamuna River? So why Garuda is specifically angry with Kalia? Then Sukadeva Goswami started narrating the whole story. So Sukadeva Goswami said, in Ramanaka Dvipa, this because it's a place of snakes, and the snakes are natural food. Snakes and fish are like natural food for Garuda. So Garuda would come there and then take some snakes, eat some snakes. So all the snakes had made an agreement with, peace agreement with Garuda. So Garuda, please don't come here and then randomly take snakes. So we will give you offerings, we will give you food. So every month we will make you some special offerings. Please come and accept those offerings on that specific day. Then Garuda agreed. He became very merciful to the snakes and then he agreed. But Kalia started taking the offerings of Garuda. Kalia would not offer anything to Garuda. Kalia would even accept the offerings of Garuda also. He would eat the offerings. So then Garuda became very angry. Why are you taking my offerings? Then Garuda started fighting with Kalia. And Kalia also started biting Garuda. So then Garuda flapped his left wing and then threw Kalia. And then Kalia became so fearful of Garuda. There was a big fight between Kalia and Garuda. Garuda is Vinatasuta. He is the son of Vinata. And Garuda and Kalia, sorry, Garuda was Vinatasuta. He is the son of Vinata. And Kalia was the son of Kadru. So they started fighting with each other. So then out of fear of Garuda, Kalia came to this Yamuna lake. Why Kalia came to this Yamuna lake in Vrindavan Dham? Because Garuda cannot come there. There is another story connected to that. So Garuda's food is fish also. So Garuda would come to this Yamuna lake and take the fish. But once Saubhari Muni, who was doing tapasya under the waters of this Yamuna river, he became very compassionate to the fishes and he cursed Garuda. Garuda, if you come to eat fish again here, then you will die. So Saubhari cursed Garuda. Garuda is such an exalted Vaishnava. He is the bird carrier of Lord Vishnu. So not knowing that Garuda is a very superior Vaishnava, this Saubhari Rishi cursed him. And Saubhari Rishi even deprived Garuda of his food also. So fish are the natural food for Garuda. So it's by the perfect arrangement of the Lord, one living entity would depend on his sustenance for another on another living entity. So it's natural for Garuda to eat fish. So who is Saubhari Rishi to intrude into this natural enjoyment of Garuda? So but he arrogantly cursed Garuda out of his concern or compassion for fish. We discussed this story in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also. And because of this Saubhari Rishi's offense to Garuda, Saubhari eventually fell down because of that very fish on whom he was so compassionate. So Garuda was compassionate on fish, and because of that misplaced compassion, Saubhari was compassionate on fish, and out of that compassion on fish, Saubhari Rishi cursed Garuda also, and because of that very fish, Saubhari Rishi fell down from his position. So he saw two fish mating with each other, and Saubhari Muni, he became desirous of entering household life. He came out of that waters. He went to the king of Mathura, Mandhata, and he married the 50 daughters of this Mandhata. So like that, Saubhari Rishi was deviated from his renunciation because of his offense to Garuda. So because of, and although Garuda was not obliged to follow the curse of the Sobhari Rishi, still Garuda respected him. Garuda followed the etiquette. After all, he is a Brahmana. He did not want me to come. Why should I come? So he just did not choose to come there. And Kaliya was aware of this curse. So Kaliya came to this Vrindavan Dham, and Kaliya came to this Yamuna lake and started staying there. And Kaliya started doing his nefarious activities inside this lake and tormented the Vrajavasis. Now that Krishna taught a lesson to Kaliya, so Kaliya is going back now. And Krishna told that, don't worry, Garuda will not harm you. And after this incident, where after Krishna subdued Kaliya, Kaliya would become the carrier of Krishna. So Kaliya told Krishna, Krishna, whenever you want to travel from one place to another place, you can just come and ride on me. Just like Garuda carries the Supreme Lord Krishna, Kaliya also carries Supreme Lord Krishna. You can go to some South Indian temples also, you can see Krishna riding on Kaliya. There are very nice stone carvings also. Now Krishna came out of the waters, and all the Vrajavasis became so happy. They were very much rejoicing the victory of Krishna. So this Gopas came and embraced Krishna. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata embraced Krishna, and they were so happy that Krishna safely came out of this Kaliya lake. And Nanda Maharaj started giving charity to Brahmanas, and Yashoda Mata had torrents of tears from her eyes. She repeatedly embraced Krishna. And all the Vrajavasis, their hearts were filled with so much of love for Krishna, because they saw Krishna in calamity. They were worrying about Krishna, and they also saw Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya so beautifully. So all the hearts of all the Vrajavasis were charmed seeing Krishna's dancing. And when Krishna came out of that calamity, the love and affection of all the Vrajavasis increased unlimitedly for Krishna. So when Krishna came out, nobody was in a mood to go back to their homes. So they all wanted to stay with Krishna only. Now if we go back to homes, we have to go to our homes, and Krishna will go to his home, and we will again be in separation from Krishna. Not a single Vrajavasi wanted to go back to home. So in some emergency, they left the homes unlocked. They did not even lock their houses. They just came to Kaliya Lake. But now that the calamity is over, they can go back, but they did not go back. So they wanted to stay there only. All the Vrajavasis, entire cowherd community, wanted to stay that night on the banks of this river Yamuna. So they started sleeping there only. So during their sleep, because of the summer heat, there was a great forest fire. So then all the Vrajavasis got up. They were tormented by this forest fire. They started taking shelter of Krishna. They said, Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga He Rama Mita Vikrama Yesha Ghorata Mo Bahnihi Tavakan Grasatehinaha. Oh Krishna Mahabhaga, extremely fortunate Krishna. Oh greatly powerful Balaram, this forest fire is overwhelming us. It's attacking us. So please do something to protect us. And they said, Sudustarannah Svan Pahi Kalagne Suhrudah Prabhoam Nashaktrumastva Charanam Santyaktum Akutobhayam. So Akutobhayam, we have taken shelter of your lotus feet, and whoever has taken your shelter will be completely freed from all disturbances and calamities. Oh Krishna, oh Balaram, please protect us. Then Krishna could not tolerate the pain of all these Vrajavasis. So he immediately swallowed the forest fire. So as if it were some water or it was some drink. So Krishna just swallowed the forest fire and protected all the Vrajavasis. And again, Vrajavasis were protected by Krishna from another calamity, and their love and affection for Krishna increased. And that completes the 17th chapter. Now we will enter the 18th chapter. In the 18th chapter, we will see that Balaramji has liberated one demon named Pralambasura. So, this is summertime in Vrindavan, and Krishna, Balaram, and all the Vrajavasis and all the Gopas, along with their cows, entered the forest of Vrindavan. And this summer is not very pleasing to the people because it's very hot. But in Vrindavan, even summer is also pleasing. Winter is also pleasing. Monsoon is also pleasing. So Vrindavan is such a transcendental abode of the Lord that it is pleasant in all circumstances, in all seasons. Krishna enjoys with his Vrajavasis in all the seasons in Vrindavan. So there were beautiful sounds of waterfalls during the summer, and the wind carries the pollen of lotus flowers that are blooming in the beautiful lakes of Vrindavan, and the river waves made the river banks very muddy and soft, and peacocks, bees and cuckoos and cranes and other birds started making very sweet and pleasant sounds, and in such an ambience Krishna, Balaram and all the gopas entered, and all the mothers of the gopas decorated them so nicely in beautiful dresses and ornaments and turbans and flowers. But when they entered the forest, the gopas picked up some more flowers and leaves and minerals and colors, and then they started decorating themselves again. They started decorating each other. They would decorate Krishna also, and they would play by whirling about and leaping and hurling and slapping and pulling hair, and they start fighting with each other. They sometimes do wrestling, and sometimes Krishna is defeated in the wrestling match in the hands of his gopa friends. And Krishna would dance, and other gopas would sing, and some people will play musical instruments. And even the demigods also come to Vrindavan Dham in the disguise of cowherd boys, and they worship Krishna like that. So in this way, Krishna was playing such wonderful games with all the gopas. And they would play with the bilva leaves and kumbha and amalaki fruits. And they would imitate the sounds of animals and birds, as we discussed before also. And they would play various jokes, and they would ride on swings. The swing means they just take a creeper, which is very strong, and are the roots of banyan tree. And they would just hang. In this way, they would very nicely swing on swings. And they would imitate monarchs. They play like kings and then subjects. And they would play like that. So one day, Krishna, Balaram and all the gopas were playing. And when they were playing, a demon named Pralambasura came there in the form of a cowherd boy. This Pralambasura was a servant of King Kamsa. So this Pralambasura came and joined this cowherd boys, and Krishna noticed this Pralambasura. Krishna understood that this Pralamba is not a gopa, he is a demon in the disguise of a gopa. And Krishna told Balramji also, see Balram, so this is not a gopa, he is a demon. Anyways, let's continue our play. So Krishna said that, oh gopas, let us all play together. So we will have a game now. We will play in two teams. So one team was led by Krishna, another team was led by Balaram. So the condition in this game is, whoever wins can climb on the shoulder of the losers, and the person who lost the game, he has to carry the winner on his back wherever the gopa wants. So like that they played. So Pralambasura joined Krishna's party, and the game continued, and in that game Krishna's team lost. Balramji's team won. So all the gopas in Krishna's team will have to carry the gopas in Balaramji's team. So Balaramji is so powerful. So Krishna carried Sudama, Sridhama, and other gopas carried different other gopas. But nobody was ready to carry Balaramji. So this Pralambasura, who was in the team of Krishna, he volunteered to carry Balaram. So he carried Balaram. Actually, Pralambasura first wanted to kill Balaram, because Balaramji is a great support for Krishna. And also Pralambasura thought that Krishna is invincible. He has killed so many demons. So probably if I attack Balaram first, then later I can attack Krishna. So Pralambasura thought that, let me first kill Balaram. So Pralambasura started carrying Balaram. And Balaramji just, he was playing the role of an innocent boy, and he was being carried by Pralambasura, and Pralambasura went way beyond the spot. he took away Balaram to very far away place, and Balaram just started increasing his weight just to play with this Pralambasur. And Pralambasur could not tolerate that, and Pralambasur started manifesting his original form. And Balaramji externally manifested some kind of little fear seeing this huge demoniac form of Pralambasur. So he just wanted to maintain the mood of that pastime. And Balaram also was hesitating to kill Pralambasur slightly, because this Pralamba took the form of a gopa and he joined Krishna's team. How can I kill somebody who is on the side of Krishna? Even during the play also, so Balaramji had a slight hesitation. But anyways, he is a demon, he has to be killed. Balaramji has to kill. And Balaram also had some concern that now that this demon is attacking me, probably some other demon is attacking Krishna there simultaneously. So Balaramji became very worried about this. Nevertheless, let me just kill this Pralambasur first and then immediately go back to Krishna. So Balaramji just slapped this Pralambasur, and Balaramji struck on Pralambasur's head with his fist, with his powerful, strong fist. And Pralamba started vomiting blood and he fell down dead. So then all the gopas saw this and then they were astonished. And they said, "Oh, Balaram, you are so powerful, excellent, excellent." They just praised Balaram. So that completes the 18th chapter of the 10th canto. Now we will enter the 19th chapter. The 19th chapter describes another beautiful incident where Krishna swallowed forest fire. This is second time. After subduing Kaliya, during that night, Krishna swallowed forest fire once to protect all the Vrajavasis, entire cowherd community. Now this is another pastime where Krishna again swallows forest fire. So one day, Krishna and Balaram and all the gopas along with their cows went into the forest as usual. And all the cows, Balaramji and Krishna and other gopas were playing there, and they were also keeping an eye on the cows. But the cows went somehow deep into the dense forest. It is during summer. So they went deep into the forest and they entered a forest which is called Munjara forest. So in that forest, there were so many canes, very tall canes were there, bamboos. So because of that summer heat, so these canes started rubbing with each other and there was a huge forest fire. Entire forest was set on fire and these innocent cows were caught up within that fire and they started making sounds, moving so much in pain. They wanted Krishna to come and protect them. They were making sounds and all the gopas also were very much concerned about their cows. So they started searching for the cows and they eventually came to this Munjara forest and they saw the cows in the midst of forest fire and the gopas started crying. They were so anxious, "Oh, what will happen to our cows?" Because cows are the property of, cows are the real wealth of all the cowherd boys and the entire cowherd community. So all the gopas became very anxious. They told Krishna, "Krishna, can you please protect us?" Then Krishna told, "My dear gopas, can you please close your eyes?" And all the gopas closed their eyes. And Krishna effortlessly swallowed the entire forest fire. And Krishna told the gopas to open the eyes. And when the gopas opened eyes, the fire is gone and the cows are safe. And the gopas felt so excited. "Oh, this Krishna must be a very special devata." So he swallowed forest fire so effortlessly within a moment. So Krishna must be a great demigod. Then immediately the gopas thought that if Krishna is a demigod, we are also demigods because we are Krishna's friends. So out of their innocence, although Krishna exhibits his majesty, grandeur and his powers and opulences right in front of their eyes also, the gopas will never consider Krishna to be the supreme personality of Godhead. Out of their deep love and affection, pure love and affection, they only consider Krishna to be their friend in their sakhya affection, sakhya rasa. So Balaramji has all three rasas. Balaramji serves Krishna in Dasya Bhava. Balaramji is like an elder brother of Krishna and he serves Krishna in Vatsalya Bhava. And Balaramji also serves Krishna in Sakya Bhava like a friend. So Balaramji is into all three rasas. So, and Balaramji is the supreme servant. So all the sakhas, friends of Krishna, always consider Krishna their friend only. They don't get into any reverential mood, although Krishna performs such miraculous deeds. And Krishna, Balaram, and all the gopas and the cows went back to the village safely, and all the gopis again were anxiously waiting for Krishna to return and relieve them of their feelings of separation. And Krishna gave darshan to all these gopis, and Krishna entered his house. So that concludes this 19th chapter. So tomorrow we will begin the 20th chapter, the monsoon in Vrindavan. So today we discussed how Balaramji killed Dhenukasur and Pralambasur, and how Krishna subdued Kalia and swallowed forest fire twice. So tomorrow we will start the monsoon episodes of Vrindavan. Summer episodes are over. So thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.